As we continue to worship him who delivered us from the bondage of sin, please turn to hymn number 201, He is Able to Deliver Thee. For the singing of the third hymn, number 218, to him whose yoke is easy and whose burden is light, hymn number 218, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary.
Seated. Let us pray. Everlasting, eternal, glorious God, we thank thee for this day, the day of the Lord, the day in which we separate ourselves from that world that calls at us each day, the world which does not know thee nor wishes to serve thee. And so, our God, we have this taste, this little taste of heaven again, so that we may be able to come to know thee better, to serve thee as we ought, to cast our cares before thee, even as our song has just told us that we can find our hope and our trust, our comfort, both in life and in death, in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank thee, our God, for this church, for thy people who have gathered here. We thank thee, Lord, for the pastor and his wife and family. We thank thee for this choir that sings so beautifully, the organist who plays. We thank thee for all of the work that is done by this wonderful church as they go out to the various rest homes to speak to those who are so close to the end of life, many of whom have been deserted by family and friends and are alone in the world. And to them comes the message by a servant of Jesus Christ, one of our members here, as he tells them about Jesus Christ and shows them the way of truth in those last days of their life. We thank thee too, Lord, for the graciousness that we have received in realizing that we are children of God, that we have, in the midst of all of the cares in the world, we can find our hope in Jesus Christ. Because that greatest hope is in which we find forgiveness of sins. Because we know our Father, our life each day reminds us of this. And thy word again, as we read the Ten Commandments, reminds us too that we have been conceived in sin and born in sin. And therefore we are subject to all of these things every day, both of thought, word, and deed. And so, our Father, we bow humbly before thee, asking thee to take away these sins from our heart and from our life. If there is any bitterness in our hearts, oh God, remove it. If there be any in our of our friends or neighbors or relatives to whom we are not speaking because of a misunderstanding, Lord, take that away, because life is so short, and we would live each day in harmony with thy will, in harmony with all those round about us. We thank thee, Lord, for this broadcast as it goes into the homes and those who sit by the radio and listen to it, some of which cannot get to church. We thank thee, our Father, that they may worship right there, wherever they are, that they may know that we are praying for them too, that God's Spirit will rest upon them, that they may have the assurance of everlasting life as they hear the word of God proclaimed again, and as we sing the praises to thy name. Bless them. We pray for those who are sick. Sometimes, our God, this sickness seems to just linger on, and it's so hard for us to bear. Give us patience. May we realize that Jesus himself suffered so much on earth, and he was the Son of God coming out of glory, but he suffered even as we at times can suffer. But may those who must suffer come to know that Jesus understands, and that they may but ask him to take away the suffering, but above all to bless them in their hearts, that they may be able to have that glorious realization that whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And so bless thy people, both out in the radio land and also those who are here in this church. And so we pray, our Father, that thou mayest watch over us this day to thy glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Our offering will be received.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 907. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Revelation, chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that we can come before you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to praise you and worship you. We thank you that you have given us, who were once lost, given us understanding through generation by the Holy Spirit, that we might know the truth revealed to us in your word and know him who is the truth. Lord, we pray for our pastor, Gabriel Otero and Mrs. Otero, Father, that their conference and pastor's preaching at that conference on the East Coast would be fruitful, Father, and that it would bring some to salvation. We pray that we would not become complacent as did the church at Laodicea, that we never put any confidence in the flesh, but always acknowledge that without the covering of the righteousness of Christ, we would be hopelessly lost. We pray for your strength to serve you and keep the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray now for your servant, Jack Van Dyken, as he brings your word to us in this place and over the radio, that you would bless him and his bringing of your word, that it would be a chastening word where needed and strength for our life and the means of faith and salvation to any who do not know you. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, Joe, for reading God's word to us. It's a great pleasure being able to be here with you folks. On my round of about five or six different churches that I preach in, I find that this is the greatest of all churches. I don't say that because I'm trying to pat you on the back, but I'm saying it for two reasons. First of all, because it's the truth, and second, because I want people out in the radio land out there to know if they want to find a church that is a church where people are lovely and wonderful and sweet and interesting, and they just are just terrific, and I enjoy it always being here. And I love your pastor. I had a tremendous week just about 2 weeks ago when we were at Mission Springs, and I heard him preach each one of the days while we were there. And he, of all people, is the prince of all preachers. I could listen to him preach forever. And it's such a joy. And you folks here in our church here are really blessed in having such a tremendous pastor. Well, we're going to speak about something which pertains to a church. And it says some things which are pretty hard to hear. Of all the churches, the seven churches of Asia, which we read of in the book of Revelation, if we can use that term, this is the church which was the least effective. In fact, it was a pretty bad church, the church at Laodicea. Some of the things that Jesus says to this church is really a very hard thing. For instance, he says to them that... because thou sayest, I am rich and increased in goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest now not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Well, Jesus is telling this church that is a church that just doesn't have any life in it anymore, that he has something yet to say to the church. And we'll look at that particular thought right there. My title for my message today is Christ at the Door. The picture, so we often see a picture of Jesus. And he's there knocking on the door. And they generally put a heart out there in the picture that as though Jesus is knocking at your heart. This isn't what this scripture is saying here. This scripture is talking to the church. It's saying here, and we read in that last verse what we read, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is to the church. That picture is not an accurate picture of what really is going on in Revelation here. Our message today will clarify, I hope, the true meaning of that scripture. We ask, well, what does Jesus mean by knocking on the door? He's knocking on the door of a church. And that's a thing that's very, very important. And we happen to be in a slump today all over the world. Wherever you go, that the churches may be filled up. Many of them are filled up, but they're not bringing the message of salvation. Jesus says to one of the seven churches, you've lost your first love. He said that to the church at Ephesus. You've lost your first love. You go through all of the things of having good programs and all of these things, but you forgot to tell people you're sinners, you're going to hell, unless you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and unless you believe in him, you have no hope in life or in death. And that's the message of salvation. The church at Laodicea put sugar coating over everything that they said. Now, it says in the beginning here, to the angel of the church at Laodicea. If you look at this carefully from the viewpoint of the Greek, it indicates that this is the preacher there. That preacher has been putting all the sweetness over the whole message of salvation. So people walk out of the church, they say, oh, well, we are really good people. They sort of pat themselves on the back, but they go back into the world as sinners, not acknowledging that they are dead in sins, not acknowledge that unless they are changed, they're going to go to hell. And that's not the kind of preaching that we need from any pulpit. It may you may gather a big crowd of people. That does not determine whether the church is a good church. One of the wonderful things about this church is you preach the gospel here. And you get to know that you are, and I, each one of us, beginning right up here at the pulpit, that we are miserable sinners of ourselves. But then it also comes to say that in Jesus Christ, there's a total change. Instead of on your way to eternal damnation, you're on your way to everlasting glory. But not more than that. Each day in life becomes a wonderful day because you walk not alone, but you walk with the King. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? With Jesus Christ. It's easy to pat people on the back and say you're good and you're wonderful and all of that from the viewpoint that, you know, you don't sin. But that's not what it should be. We need to remind ourselves also that we are sinners. Jesus is at the door of the church. He's on the outside. You don't knock on the inside, do you? No, you knock on the outside. Jesus is knocking on the outside of this church. It is an unfaithful church, the church at Laodicea. It's a nauseating church because he says, I will spew you out of my mouth. What a thing for Christ to have to say about a church which bears the name of a Christian church. And this is exactly what he's saying, because they had an unfaithful witness. Christ is standing on the outside and knocking on that door of that church and says, church, change, change, or I am going to take your lamp away from you, the lampstand. The seven churches were told that they, each one of them had a lampstand and a light. And Jesus says, I'm going to take it away from you unless you change. And that's why he was knocking at the door. He is standing at the door telling the people that the real message of salvation comes only when you come to realize that you are a sinner and that you need Jesus Christ, and that all the good works you do, as Isaiah said, are filthy rags. They're nothing. You don't have to give anything to God. He owns everything. Of course we do, because out of gratitude we say, I love you, Lord. I want to do things for you and I want to live for you. But that only comes after you know that you're a sinner and then know by the grace of God through the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart that he has changed you. Instead of looking down on all the things of the world and making that your home and hoping that you can get a few more years in so that you can enjoy the world, instead, he turns your head up and you see the glory of heaven and the glory of a child of God who has everything to look forward to. The church itself was unfaithful, the church at Laodicea. Its true witness had gone. And so Christ came to call to that church. He is saying that you are so bad, I can't even stand you. Now that's a kind of a crude way of saying it, but it gets to the point. You know, we can, as we say, put sugar coating over everything and hide the real things that God wants us to say. But here Jesus is saying, I'm going to vomit you up, church. And that's a terrible thing. He says, I'll have nothing more to do with you. What a terrible thing to say to a church. But he wouldn't have said it if it wasn't so. And you and I know that. He's come to call churches all over the world to realize that unless they preach the gospel, they are deceiving people. Good, lovely people, dressed nice, faithful maybe to come to the church and all of that. unless they know the message of salvation, unless they are saved by Jesus Christ, they're going to go to hell. Nice, fine people doing all kinds of things, giving a lot of money to the church, building a beautiful church, doing all these things. That gets you nowhere. The only thing that's going to get you that joy and peace is when Christ has changed your heart. And then because you know that you are such a tremendous sinner, so far from what God wants you to be, and then you realize that He has saved you and saved you from eternal damnation, you say, oh, I love my God. I love Jesus. I love the Lord. I love His plan of salvation. I love to be with His people. Because instead of going to eternal damnation, I'm going to be with God's people forever. Within the church, however, the church at Laodicea, there were still some of the elect. There were still some that loved the Lord. And Christ says here that He loves His own. And that's why he's knocking on the outside of the church and said, hey, listen, there's something that you need to hear, the people in that church. And so Christ calls to His own those who are the children of God, who have still been in that church which was a wrong church, and they were being sort of wooed away from the truth of God. And Christ here again reminds them and asks them, how could they stay in a church like that? And you and I don't know that. I thank God this church here is not that kind of a church. I can see through this church as a church which represents the true gospel. And that's why I'm here, because I'd love to come to that kind of a church, because God's people want to hear the message of salvation. Even in the most miserable church of Laodicea, there were still some of the true children of God. And that gives us the realization that we, as God's people, need to speak to the world round about us and say, what is your preacher preaching on? Is he telling you a lot of nice little stories and so on? Or is he preaching the Word? Does he open the Bible and say, thus saith the Lord? And unless he says, thus saith the Lord, all of the stories and all the little things have no meaning. About 50 and 60 years ago, boy, doesn't that sound like a long time ago? Yeah, it is, yeah. But when you get as old as I am, you can think back to there. I was in the military as a young flying officer, and it was Easter. And I had already gotten married, and I was married. My wife met me because we had made a flight. This was during the war, and you had to fly every day. I was still in the States at that time. But I said to the crew, we're going to come down in time for the Easter service in church. And they said, oh, that's real great. I was the only one who went, but then our whole crew had the opportunity. And I sat in, I couldn't even sit. The church was so loaded on Easter, that chapel. And I was in the back there listening. The chaplain there, and that's why I became a chaplain later on, that chaplain there didn't open the Bible. He gave a book review of some book. And that was the whole Easter service. Never said anything about Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. And when I saw my wife after that, I said, honey, I'm going to go into the service of the United States military, and I'm going to tell them from the pulpit. I'm going to tell them when I'm in the foxhole. I'm going to tell them as we fly through the air, there's only one hope, and that is found in Jesus Christ. Not a book report, but only God's Word. How many other churches are like the church of Laodicea? He calls from without. The church has cast him out. Oh, they use his name once in a while, but they've cast him out. Therefore, he calls to them from without. Inside of the church, he is not honored. Inside of the church at Laodicea. How terrible that is. They have all kinds of other things. I know of some churches which burst at the seams. They have every kind of program under the sun for their people, except the program of salvation. And that's the main thing. Just a plain word, that's all. The elect will not be fed in a church like that. And they go away, maybe feeling that they were patted on the back, but they still carry their sins because they have not been told, cast all your care on me, for he careth for you, is what Jesus said. Christ calls from the outside, and he calls to this church, which is hopelessly lost. Now, I'm saying these things, and I'm talking about this particular church because this is why God put it in God's Word, so that people will be warned throughout all wherever they hear this on the radio, and you and I too, realizing when we meet people and you talk to them and say, well, you go to church? Oh, yes, I go to this so-and-so church once in a while and this and that. And you come to know that those churches, some of them, they do not bring the message of salvation. That's why I'm glad to be in a church like this particular church here. What a wonderful church, Bethel Baptist Church, a church where Christ is on the inside, not on the outside. Jesus said, I'll spew you out. I'll have nothing to do with it. Don't even call yourself a Christian, what he's saying to that church. Christ has already said that he no longer is in that church. And yet he comes as a wonderful, merciful Savior. And he says to that group of people that are in that church, listen, you're not hearing the message of salvation. You need to come out of that church and go to a church where the message of salvation is concerned. Because though they talk about some things which are spiritual things, they talk about God, and God is a God of love, and he is a wonderful God of love, but you don't realize how loving he is until you know that you are a sinner, and he takes all that sin away from you, and that's his love, not to give you a big bankroll or to heal you from sickness, as much as we like to be healed, but he gives you the healing of the soul. That's what counts, right? That's what counts. We don't call you to come to Bethel Baptist Church to take away your cancer or anything else. No, that isn't the call of the church. The call of the church is to take away the sin in your heart, and that comes only through Jesus Christ, and that's why this church here preaches just that way. Christ is outside of that church. But listen what he says about that church, and we can read it in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, these words, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Well, what's the power of godliness? What's the real power of godliness? The real power of godliness is not the physical things only in our life. Oh, God takes care of all of those things. Those are just incidental. Those things are for a time. And that all passes away. I just went to a funeral the other day of a man that I've known for many, many years, a multimillionaire. I felt so bad. I felt so bad. He couldn't take any of it with him. In fact, he didn't even have the kind of a service that he'd asked his children to have. And all of this was changed. You can strive for the things of the world, but when death comes, you're cut off totally. And then you either go to eternal damnation or eternal glory with the Lord. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power. What's the power of godliness? To change the lives and the hearts of men, to prepare them for everlasting life. We're in church today not because we want God to mark down, oh, he made the attendance. Well, that's pretty good. That's four times this quarter. No, that isn't why we go to church. We go to church, first of all, to find out that we're sinners. Now, that doesn't sound very nice, does it? But that's what we go to church for. We read the Ten Commandments, and when we read it, it tells us all the things we ought to know. And if we're honest with ourselves, we can say, I've broken the Ten Commandments. One of them, maybe all of them. Peter says, James says, if you've broken one, you've broken all the commandments. And so we come here, and under the preaching of the word, we're reminded that God hates sin. God hates sin. And he wants you and I to know that the sins that we have need to be cleansed. Otherwise, there's no hope in life. And that's the real power. The power of godliness is to point us to Christ Jesus as the only hope in life and in death. and not the other things. A church which is a halfway church has so many other nice things, but forgets to preach the truth of the Word of God, hides the Bible, is a church that lies to its people. And that kind of a church, unless it calls people to repentance, Jesus says he will spew him out of his mouth. The key word in our verse is verse 20, which says this: Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him, and he will be with me. As we note in that sermon, only the elect can even hear. Only the elect hear what God is really saying. And that's why he speaks to them. And he says, Come ye out from them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Christ calls us to repentance. That's a humbling thing. Of course it's a humbling thing. Because none of us like to think of ourselves as being those who are not better than everybody else. But he comes to us and tells us to repent. Only his own will really hear. And so when he knocks on the door, he's talking to those who are inside, who really yet, those who love him. But Scripture also tells us that a good father rebukes his son and corrects his son. And God, who is even better than any father on earth, does the same thing for each one of us. And you and I may say, well, I'm a Christian. I've made profession of faith. I've come to the front of the church and and said to everybody that I belong to Jesus Christ, and I know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm saved. And so I don't have to come back to church. No, that's not it at all. We come back constantly because we constantly sin. Now, that seems like a dismal thing, but it's part of what happens. When you and I lay our heads down to sleep at night and we ask God to watch over us when we go to sleep, what are the things that we always say? Remember what the little children say? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take. And a child can only say this because they know that Jesus has taken their sins away from them and they could go to sleep. That's the wonderful message. But we go to church so that when we leave the church, that we go out with a zeal. Not with a zeal saying, I'm better than the world. All those people out there that don't go to church, I'm better than they. No, no, no. We don't say that at all. But we say, I have been changed. Not by myself, but by God. And that's why it's a perfect change. When we make changes, we always make mistakes. Oh, you know, regardless of what we do in life, there's always things that we do that are not quite right. And above all, in the whole plan of salvation, if you and I were the ones that worked out the plan of salvation, even if there was just that much of all of the plan of salvation, what I am responsible for, that part would be sinful. And if that part is sinful, I would never make it to heaven, because God will take only those to heaven who are perfect. Remember what Jesus said, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. How could Jesus say that? Well, that's a call for each one of us to remember that when we realize that we are sinners and come to Jesus Christ by his power, and he then changes us into a child of God, which he presents as perfect before God. You know, when you say your prayers, how do you conclude your prayers? In Jesus' name, don't you? That's the only way that we can ever get our voice into heaven. Because when we pray through Jesus' name, that means, God, I can't come to you because I'm a sinner. But when I pray through Jesus' name, Jesus has taken away all my sins, and I stand before you, even as Jesus said, be ye perfect. I stand before you perfect. Doesn't mean that we don't keep on sinning. Yes, we do, until the very last moment. It was Paul the Apostle, that great and wonderful man. What a tremendous man of God. The Apostle Paul, he said, the good that I would, that I do not. This is that Paul who preached that glorious message of salvation. He was a learned man in all of the Word of God. The good that I would, that I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. And then he looks at himself in the mirror of God's Word and he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the bondage of this death? And when he said that, amens, sin can hold on to you. I've worked in two groups of men and women, one with those who are with Alcoholics Anonymous. Listen to them, and they'll tell you how alcohol can grab their lives, and it takes away every cent that they have, and they lose their family, and they don't take care of their wife, and they don't take care of their children, or the mother involved in alcohol has lost all these things. And you talk to them, and they say, but oh, I've tried, but I just can't get away from sin. Holds on to us. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this, or from an even worse thing, if that can be, narcotics, drugs. Oh, listen, young folks, don't ever even try them. Don't even be around people that have them, because all they can hold on to you, they stick better than magic glue, and it's hard to get rid of them. Very hard. I've worked with these young men in the military especially, and they would say, through tears coming down their cheeks, I wish I could stop, chaplain. I wish I could stop. I wish I could stop. And it's only by the grace of God that there comes a change. Jesus says to us, as many as I love, I rebuke. So congregation, when your pastor says to you that each one of us are sinners, remember, this is what God says to us, and say, thank you, Lord, for reminding me of that. You know, a good teacher, when she sends children to the blackboard, to the board to write up there, and she'll give you spelling words, and she'll say the word, and the child writes it out. And here Mary goes up there, and she hesitates a little bit, and she writes out the word, but she's misspelled it, but she thinks it's right. But when the teacher says, no, Mary, you misspelled that word, then Mary is corrected, and then Mary will remember the next time, and she'll be spelling it correctly. Is the teacher good if she says, oh, Mary, it's all right, everything's okay, oh, you misspelled him, but that's all right? Maybe not even tell him that you misspelled it, you know. What kind of a teacher would that be? What kind of a preacher is it that says, oh, you people are all so wonderful, so good? Now, I said that to you to start off with, because you are reborn. And when you're reborn, you're a child of God. What God is saying, what Jesus is saying to the church at Laodicea, and we read in Psalm 135 about this, that they have ears, but they hear not. They have ears, but they hear not. I don't know if any of you have, as parents, have ever had problems with a child. I hope not, but you can talk to a child or to a young person or to grown-ups, and they say yes, 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 but it just drops off. They don't listen to it. And so it is also in this life. In that church at Laodicea, they had ears, but they didn't hear the message of salvation, and so they didn't know the way. In Romans, or rather in Matthew, the 13th chapter, the 13th verse, this is what Jesus said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, that they hear. And they're blessed because God has cleanse those eyes. He has cleansed those ears, taken out the dross of the things of the world. You hear the world clamoring constantly. Young people, oh, how the world clamors for you. They can make it all sound so good and so much fun. And with all of these things, they stop your ears to the message of salvation. And to us who are older, we can have the same thing happen, so our ears no longer hear the message of salvation, and the clamor of the world out there calls us. That's what happened to the church at Laodicea. They couldn't hear anymore. They couldn't see anymore. The world, hear what they said about themselves? I read that to you a moment ago. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I don't need you, God. This is what they're saying there. And knowest not that thou art wretched. This is what Jesus is saying to those millionaires at that church. That thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. With all your pretty clothes and all the rest, you're nothing, he says to these people who are not the elect, who are going along with the things which are contrary to God's word. You're naked. How terrible a thing that God sees us as we really are, unless we are a child of God. God gives promises to this church, though. He says, if you repent, if you repent. And that's the wonderful thing about the mercy of God. In all of the churches of Revelation, that we read, that Christ finds things that are wrong with many of them, but then he still says, repent and I'll come back to you. Repent and I'll come back to you. What a glorious and wonderful thing. The faithful will enter into everlasting life, but only by virtue of the fact that their ears have been opened and their hearts have been opened, and that can come only through the work of the Holy Spirit. Christ has said to that church, you're a wrong church. And if anybody listening in on radio realizes that the church that they've been going to doesn't preach the gospel, I'd like to just invite you to come to this church here. Wonderful church, Bethel Baptist Church. We're located over here on Tennant Avenue on Highway 101. And this is where the gospel message is proclaimed, with a pastor that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, Dr. Otero. And he'll bring the message to you, and you'll come out of this church rejoicing that you're a child of the King, that you've been saved. Christ spewed out the church of Laodicea. The elect alone heard the voice of Christ. God has opened their ears, and to these he speaks. And he says to them, and we find in verse 21, he that overcometh, I will grant everlasting life. Congregation, God has blessed you with a wonderful church. But I bring this message especially as a warning. Don't let anything ever come in. Someday, God will take away your wonderful pastor. I hope you have him for another 50 years, but you may get in others that say, well, we've got other programs. We don't have to preach the word. Don't let that ever happen in your church. And in your home, be sure that you have your devotions with your children. Have them learn scripture, memorize it, so that they can say, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Listen, children, Christ speaks to you today. He calls you and says, you also as little children sin, and you need Jesus to forgive your sins. And he'll do it. He'll take away every one of your sins, just as your mom and daddy, when you say, I'm sorry, mama, I'm sorry, daddy, say, okay, darling. And they take you in their arms and they kiss you and say, everything is forgiven. But even in a more wonderful way, Jesus Christ takes those who come to him through the power of the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Take away my sins. I want to be a Christian. I want everlasting life. I want to be able to lie down on my bed at night, not worrying about whether I'm going to wake up in the morning or whether I will lose my life because I walk with the King. Congregation, it's so wonderful to walk with the King. So you can say, I'm a child of the King. I am a witness for Christ. I am an ambassador. That's your job and mine. We heard the warning against the church at Laodicea. God grant that this church may never have that said of it. And the way the church is right now, it will not be said of it. But elders in the church and deacons in the church and mothers and daddies insist always that in Sunday school, in all avenues of the church, God's word is proclaimed and only that. And then God will never spew you out of his mouth. You may not become the biggest church, and you may become the biggest church, but you'll be the church that God says, you are my people, and you belong to me. God grant that that may be for us here at Bethel Baptist and for all of God's people. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank and praise your name for all the glorious things that you come to us. We pray, Lord, that as we have heard the warning of a church, and we're living in an age today, our Father, when God's word is not proclaimed from pulpits, we pray, Lord, that churches may change before God will spew them out, so that there may yet be a Christian message coming out. In Jesus' name, amen. Mama and children, it's wonderful to hear those wonderful little voices. Will you rise for the benediction? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.